we focus too often on the physical condition instead of the spiritual condition. We should trust and obey God like Abraham did. We need to find our identity in Christ for true life. And if behaviors affect our theology, therefore we should obey God and His Word, and we will find true freedom. And of course, the main point of this passage seems to be asking the question, are you going to trust God and obey Him? And so, a reminder of where we are in the story of John, where Pastor Matt left off last week. We're reminded of the importance of being in the Word and making it center of our life. In chapter 8 last time, in verses 31 and 32, we see Jesus says, if you live in my Word, you are truly my disciples. We also heard in John that by being in the Word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In the beginning of chapter 8, people are confused about who Jesus is and what they'll be set free from. These people can't get that Jesus is talking about spiritual things, and they're tied up thinking about being set free from a physical slavery. Jesus explains that they are enslaved to sin and would be set free spiritually by living in God's Word. Yet even with the people who believe Him, believing Jesus, they're confused, and they still think about the physical as they claim to be children of Abraham. And that as children of Abraham, they have never been slaves to anyone. And of course, we see how silly this is, because we know that in the past they were slaves in Egypt, and in some sense they're slaves in the present to the Romans. They are so arrogant that they miss the truth of the past and the present of who Jesus is, that then, still in this confusion, Jesus continues to explain to them about spiritual slavery to sin, and that freedom comes from the Son of God. It's in the middle of this conversation that we pick up in verse 37. The people are still focused on the physical slavery and not on spiritual slavery to sin. Jesus continues to explain that even though your physical offspring to Abraham, you don't act like the children of Abraham, as you seek to kill them, he says. In fact, you're like children from another father, from some different offspring, he says. The crowd then defensively responds to Jesus in verse 39. They say, no, we are children of Abraham. The crowd chooses to respond to the part of what Jesus said that they think is the weak part of the statement. Interestingly, they don't respond to the claim that they're trying to kill him. They know this is true. Instead, they choose to respond to Jesus' implied claim that they have a different father than Abraham. The crowd keeps missing the spiritual aspect Jesus is trying to explain. How often with God's Word in the Bible that we do the same thing? We miss what God is saying. When the Bible says healing, we assume physical, instead of realizing that God may be referring to emotional and spiritual healing. We think, come on, God, you care about me, so why don't you take care of Grandma and Tyler and Joey and my dog suffering, etc. Too often we come up with some physical issue when we see suffering. In 1 Timothy 1:15, it says, this saying is trustworthy, deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. God does care about the physical, but not before he cares about the spiritual healing, and that's why he came into the world to save sinners. So even when the crowd Jesus is talking to brings up the physical relationship about their great-great-great-great-grandfather Abraham, in verse 39, Jesus addresses this, but again, he brings it back to the spiritual. He says, if you really were Abraham's children, you would act differently, like you wouldn't be trying to kill me. This is not how Abraham lived. He listened to God and obeyed. Abraham had faith in God, faith enough to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. He left his land and went to the land God showed him. He trusted God and let Lot pick the best land first. Abraham went and rescued Lot when Lot was kidnapped, and God gave Abraham victory. Abraham wouldn't take loot when he rescued Lot, and said he trusted in God's provision. God made a covenant with Abraham, and part of that involved Abraham being circumcised, which Abraham obeyed and did. There is more to Abraham's story, but it comes down to the fact that Abraham believed in God's word and trusted him and obeyed. The crowd Jesus is speaking to isn't believing Jesus is God. They are not seeking to obey him, but instead they want to kill him. Therefore, Jesus calls them out and says, you are doing the works of another father. Jesus is suddenly saying, your spiritual father who you are following is Satan. In verse 41, the crowd's response to Jesus is interesting again. They don't deny, they're trying to kill him. Again, they focus on this whole father thing. It's like they have an identity crisis. Their identity was wrapped up in being children of Abraham, Jews. How many of you would feel insulted if I said, you're not really Christians, you're all posers? You think you're Christians, but in reality, you're Satanists. You're atheists. In reality, you're pagan. In reality, you're children of the Republican Party. You're children of the Democrat Party. You're children of Love and Logic. You're children of Martha Stewart. And the list goes on. Where is your identity, really? If you say you're aware that you are children of God, do you really obey and follow Jesus' words in the Bible? Or do you take a little bit of Jesus, a little bit of karma, a little bit of Buddha, and everything else? Who are you a child of? A child of God or a child of what? Going back and looking at verse 41, we see the crowd's response. They say, we are not illegitimate children. Maybe they're hinting at some rumors they heard about Jesus and how Jesus' mother Mary got pregnant with Jesus from someone other than Joseph, or the rumor that Mary got pregnant with Jesus out of wedlock. That comment sounds like an underhanded attack on Jesus. At least we know who our father is. Not like you, Jesus, who isn't sure who his real dad is. It's kind of what it sounds like the crowd is saying. Then the crowd says, we know who our father is, God himself. He is our only father, not like you, Jesus. So in verse 42, Jesus doesn't care about this rumor. He doesn't respond to their insults. Jesus responds by saying, if God truly was your father, you would love him. For I am from God. God sent me. Why don't you understand it, he says. It's because you can't. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to do his works. The second half of verse 44 says, he was a murderer from the beginning. This is probably referring to the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, and the result was physical and spiritual death for them and the rest of humanity. It could also be referring to Adam and Eve's son, Cain and Abel, when Cain murdered Abel. It's no coincidence that in John chapter 7 and 8, it mentions that they were trying to kill Jesus multiple times. In John chapter 7, verse 1, in verse 19 and 20, and in verse 25, and then in John chapter 8, verse 37, and in verse 40. Their thoughts and actions show they are truly children of Satan. They are attempted murderers, and soon, in the book of John, they will become actual murderers when they send Jesus to the cross. Then in verse 45, Jesus says, but because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which is repeating some of what he says in verse 40. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Indirectly, Jesus is asking the Pharisees back then, and us today, will you believe me? Are my words true? Are you followers of Jesus? Are you children of God? Are you children of Abraham? Are you a Christian? Many people in America would say, yes, I follow Jesus, I believe in Jesus, and yes, I'm a Christian. But so many people in America, and even us in this church, our actions don't line up with being believers in Jesus. We don't believe what the Bible says is true. We don't believe the Bible when it says hard things, like, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. Ask whatever you want in my name, or seek and you will find, or the consequences for sin is death, or they will be cast into the lake of fire, and many other hard sayings. I've been asking myself while preparing this sermon, what parts of my life, God, do I not believe to be true? And what parts of my life do my actions not line up with what I say I believe? Am I saying I'm a child of Abraham, but not obeying like Abraham obeyed? I thought, what parts of my life are not lining up with your biblical commands? So I tried to remind myself some of the commands in the Bible. like do the work of an evangelist, be thankful, rejoice always, give freely, do good to those who hate you. These slow to anger, and there are hundreds more. I searched online for biblical commandments, and I found a really good document with 1,050 commandments in the Bible, all categorized with biblical references. You realize quickly, once you start to look at all the commandments, or sometimes even just one commandment, how difficult it is to obey and keep the commandments. I realize that I can be very much like the Jews in the story of John. There are parts of my life that my actions don't show I'm a child of God. At times, I do not believe Jesus' words in the Bible. It doesn't help that I forget God's words in the Bible, or sometimes I just don't know all of God's words. My challenge to all of us is to get the Bible, God's word, and see for ourselves. And ask the question, are you obeying God's commands? Some of the commands that I realized recently that I've not followed very well are, do the work of an evangelist, be thankful, rejoice always, give freely, and be slow to anger. If you think you're obeying all of God's commands, then you need a wake-up call. And you need to look at the list of all the commands in the Bible. You will quickly realize none of us follows the commands of the Bible perfectly. Six, Jesus says, can any of you prove me guilty of sin? The correct answer to that question is no. And that's why the Jews...
I just want to switch microphones.
Can you prove me guilty of sin, Jesus asks. The correct answer to that question is no. And that's why the Jews can't say anything to this question. The correct answer is no, not because Jesus, they didn't see him sin. It was because he didn't sin. And that is why Jesus was the perfect sacrifice to wipe away our sins. Jesus then asked the question, if I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Then Jesus gives the answer. Those who believe hear and obey God. Those who don't believe do not hear and do not obey God. So the question I ask you is, which are you? I know personally that I believe. I hear and obey God's word, however imperfectly. But my life shows a trend of accepting God's word to be more and more true in my life. I am not perfect in obeying, but I am being sanctified, as it says in Hebrews. However, for some of you, maybe you look into the Bible and you find yourself accepting some things to be true and not other things. You're not willing to accept some of those hard things in the Bible. Jesus says at the end of verse 47, you do not belong to God. Some people won't accept the Bible as truth because of personal sin. They don't want to give up a specific sin or a certain lifestyle, so they ignore God's word so they can keep living in sin. They know the commands, but they would just like to keep living in adultery or whatever sin it is that they're into. There's an awesome story in the book called Taking It to Their Turf by Tom Short. It's in a book of short stories about a good street preacher who goes around the college campuses in America preaching the true gospel. Tom Short has been preaching for a long time and has seen God save many people. In one of his stories, he mentions a man who he engaged while open-air preaching at the University of Georgia. This college student said he was once a Christian, but now he was too educated to be a Christian. Tom Short asked him, how long have you been too educated to be a Christian? He said, about 3 years. Tom asked, can I ask you a personal question? The student said, ask anything, I have nothing to hide. Tom then asked, are you sexually immoral? The student was surprised by that question, but eventually said, you would say that I am. Then Tom asked, how long have you been sexually immoral? The student said, well, I guess it's been about 3 years and 2 months. But hey, my sexual behavior has nothing to do with me not being a Christian. And then he went on to say all the reasons why the Bible was written by fallible men, it was sexist, science had proved the Bible wrong. Here's the exact excerpt from Tom Short's book of how he responded. He said, "Not so at all," I countered. "You reject the Bible for a very simple reason." Raising my hands to point to the right and to the left, I said, "You know the Bible tells you to live like this," I said, point to the right. "But you want to live like this," I said, point to the left. A true Christian will adjust his belief to agree with... Let me say that again. A true Christian will adjust how he lives to agree with what he believes. You have adjusted how you believe to agree with how you want to live. How did I know that? Romans 1 tells us that people have no excuse for rejecting God. When they do reject him, they do more for moral reasons rather than intellectual reasons. Granted, most will admit the moral issues up front, but it's almost always the real reason. Let's look at Romans 1 together. The whole chapter and section is good, but let's just focus on Romans 1, verses 18 through 20. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse." So today, are you accepting the Bible as truth, or have you suppressed the truth because the truth is inconvenient for your lifestyle? We need to be careful, even those of us who say, yes, the Bible is truth, because if our actions do not line up with our beliefs, we will start to change our beliefs. So if you accept the Bible as truth and Jesus as truth, then ask God to help you in lining up your actions and your behaviors with your beliefs. We all have some behaviors that don't line up with the commandments in the Bible. And I tell you to fix your actions, not because your actions save you, but because your actions affect your belief. The reason we try to line up our actions with the truth and Jesus and the Bible is because we love Jesus, who died on the cross to take away our sins and came back to life, showing us all there is victory over sin. We try to do the right thing because we love him for what he did. Let's pray that we all fall more in love with this Jesus. If you are someone today who would like prayer in how you can live rightly with God, please meet with me and the elders after church up front. We'd be glad to talk to you. Please don't stay in sin. Please don't stay in unbelief of God's word, the Bible. Please discover and explore and ask the tough questions. Please don't fall for the lie that God's word isn't true, or the other lie that part of God's word isn't true. Please realize that if you don't accept all God's word is true, you are following Satan, who is a liar. Again, as it says in verse 44. A quick example of an account in the Bible where it might seem convenient for us not to believe and follow the words of God because the interpretation may be difficult to understand is in Genesis 22. God tells Abraham to go sacrifice his son, which is what a lot of followers of pagan gods were doing during this time. Child sacrifices. This seems barbaric, cruel, and pagan that God would ask Abraham to do this. Therefore, it might be convenient to come up with some explanation to the story to make God not seem so cruel. Just like a fish looks at a worm on a hook, and the worm to the fish looks appealing. But don't do it. When you start to change part of God's word for your convenience, you're starting to sin. You are traveling down a dangerous path. Instead of choosing to change God's word so that it fits into your convenient belief, choose like Abraham did to do what seems crazy, killing your son. Instead of changing your belief to line up with the behavior you want to live, sin does not bring life, but death. Realize that true life and freedom comes in Jesus. For all of us today, let us make a decision to be true children of Abraham. Even when difficult, let us trust God's word as truth and obey. Let us ask God to help forgive us for our disobedience, and let us give praise to God for taking away our sins. Let's ask God to help us line up our actions with our beliefs, because we can't do it without his help. Again, if you would like to ask someone about questions you have in the Bible, or you'd like to know more about asking God to forgive you of your sins, like I said, the elders will be up front on the church today. We would love to talk to you. If you want God to forgive you today, please don't leave here without talking to someone. Let's take a moment now. Let's pray. God, help us to line up our actions with our beliefs, with your beliefs and your word. God, help us not to get distracted by the physical things, and remember that oftentimes you tell us to focus on the spiritual things. And vice versa, Lord, help us not to get distracted by the spiritual and forget the physical as well. Lord, help us to trust and obey you like Abraham did. We need to find our identity in you, Jesus. Help us to do that. Lord, help our behaviors, like I said, to be ones that line up with your word, so that we may find true freedom in you. Help us to trust and obey you. We pray all this for your glory, for our sake.